You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org. Here's Pastor Greg Mott.
If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 12. You might remember before Christmas, we were going through Genesis. Seems like a long time ago. And then we started going through some more Christmas kind of things. But we're back in Genesis, and I want us to get ready for where we are. If you remember, we've done Genesis 1 through 11, and Genesis 1 through 11 is vastly different than Genesis 12 through 50. It's like there's this big chasm right here in the middle. Genesis 1 through 11 is best described as being the history of man. Genesis 12 through 50 is best described as being the history of Israel. So Genesis 1 through 11, the history of man, we get the creation of the world. We talked about, did this whole thing evolve or did it come about with God's creation? We see the temptation of man, and man unfortunately falls into temptation, so much so that we end up with an ark. And in the obedience of Noah, we end up with this ark that comes against all the unfaithfulness of man. Then we journey further and we got the Tower of Babel is where we ended. And in the history of man, the last part of the history of man is man building a tower in honor of man. It sounds like a great man story all the way through, doesn't it? Started out with being blessed, ended up with wanting to be worshiped. And now we end up in Genesis chapter 12, and we begin Genesis 12, and it's going to shoot us into the patriarchs. It's going to shoot us into the history of Israel. We're going to be able to understand our society even more by looking at this. It's going to be a time that we begin right now talking about Abraham. Now, we're going to see him in Genesis 12. His name is Abram. Abram and Abraham are the same guy, okay? It's just the same person. Abram gets his name changed in Genesis 17, verse 5, to Abraham. It goes from Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, which means father of many, because we're going to see he's going to be the father of many nations. So we have this moment where we've ended this time of the history of man. How is man done until this point? Not so hot. Now we begin with this history of Israel. How's Israel going to do? Not so hot. God is going to begin here in Genesis 12, though, some first steps for us. It's going to be the first steps of this man named Abram, that he's going to move from an idolater into a worshiper of the true God. We're going to see the first steps of redemption, that God's going to cast his plan out that's going to take us right to the cross where we have the Lord's Supper. We're going to see the first steps of missions, that in Genesis 12 is the beginning steps of missions. First steps are vastly important. We love first steps. Don't you love seeing someone step out for the first time to get something and all of a sudden they get the ball and they don't know what to do? You love that unless you were rooting for the Longhorns this weekend. That's the only time you didn't love it. So first steps, usually though, we love seeing those things take off where we see somebody take the first steps. A baby's first steps is something we love. We grab the video camera. We write it down in the baby book. We said, here were the first steps. We're going to see first steps here. We have a little daughter. She's going to be 2 in February. And we grabbed the video camera this summer and grabbed it. And we captured pretty close to her first steps. And I want you to see her first steps, not the actual ones, but it's as quick as I could kind of get the camera in that range. And so her getting these first steps down as we see a journey into Genesis to find the first steps of Abram.
This is Valerie, and here she comes. Come on, girl. She's so proud of herself for walking. Good job. June 23rd, 2009 is the first day that she's really walked. Come. Hey, come here. Come walk to me. Come to me. Yeah. Yeah, come on. Yay! Go to Grace. Look, she's just cruising. Oh, there's a crawler now.
A little reality TV from the pastor's crib. Those first steps are wonderful. They're so precious, but as we journey out in those first steps, we often turn out just like a baby would. We end up taking a few first steps, and we get a little scared, and we go back to what we know of a crawl. In Genesis chapter 12, God is going to encourage Abram and as a result, us to take our first steps, to jump out there in faith, to allow God to do something, to not be put back in fear into a crawl, but to allow God to use us and to move us out into our first steps. Look in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Point 1 is going to be basically verse 1, and then the rest of it's going to be point 2, and then we'll close up. Here's what it says. The Lord said to Abram, same as Abraham, just got a new name right, or a different name right now. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and I will go to the land and go to the land that I will show you. Notice who's doing this. I will make your name great. I will give you a great nation, and I will bless you. Then it comes, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Verse 4, so Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Keep in mind, that's a problem, actually. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. In that we see that Moses didn't have anything to do with this, sorry. So if I say Moses again, he's later. Abram goes out, and he is journeying out on this road that God is calling him to take some faith steps. Faith steps always take you to God. Faith steps always walk us towards God. Now, that seems like a no-brainer. Well, of course, faith steps always take us to God. I'm remarkably surprised how many times we'll say, well, I prayed about and I'm going to do, and then I just want to go, do you read your Bible? You can't pray about that and then do that. God would never lead you to do that. Faith steps always lead you back to the Word of God. Faith steps always lead you back to obedience of Christ. Faith steps always lead you to honoring God. Faith steps always have integrity. They always have honesty. They always have long term. They never really have short term. How does it go for me right now? It's always what's going to happen for the glory of God long term. And many times we spiritualize steps that are not what God wants us to take. We want to take them. We've been Christianized enough that we spiritualize them and sand them in a little bit of, kind of bread them and then put them into the oven. And to be able to say, this is what God wants. The way you know what God wants for your life is you know God. And when you know God through His Word and you know God through His Spirit, then you'll know God through His leadership, and then you'll be able to pray and allow God to show you what God wants. Faith steps always go to God. They always go to God. They never go away from God. They always go to obedience. They always go to righteousness. They always go to holiness. But we stumble at times, don't we? This faith step that Abram has before him is to leave his country, leave his family, leave all that he knows. He is going to step out towards God because Abram knows that a willing witness has the next heartbeat of obedience. Because he realizes that his disappointments are God's divine appointments. Last week's sermon is what that was, and what an amazing sermon it was. So being a willing witness to step out, he says, I'm going to leave all that I know, my country, my family, my home, everything in verse 1, to go to the land that God will show him. Now for us, when we hear leave family, we go, oh yeah, everybody does that at 18. This is a different culture, and we got to get our mind around it. It's not a Western culture like what we just had with Christmas, where we get on planes and go see family, and family comes on planes to see us. And if we don't go see them, then we call them on a long-distance call. We email them. We get pictures of what happened 5 seconds ago on our phone at their Christmas. It ends up where we've got this connectivity all around the Western world. That is not the day that they live in. Listen to what a commentator said about that day. You and I live in a Western world in a very mobile society, where family members live far apart. In Abram's day, to leave one's family and homeland was to leave one's source of significance and security. By commanding Abram to leave his homeland and his family, he was forced to depend solely on God. Only the poverty-stricken or the defeated would wander. Only the landless or the fugitive would move about and leave their ancestral homes. So leaving his home is a huge deal. And maybe you come from a different culture where you realize leaving your home, that was a big deal. Because on your block was mama and grandmama and grandpa and an uncle and aunt down the street. And so when you went off to the big city, it was a big deal. Abram took a step of faith, and first steps of faith are leaving the known, his family, his country, his ways. For the unknown, a land that God will show him. Maybe you're even here and God's brought you to Houston and you've left the known of a different city and now you're here and the unknown is this exact worship service for you. Maybe God's going to call you. Do you know that God still calls full-time missionaries out of churches? Businessmen and women still lay down their businesses and say, I'm going into vocational Christian service. God does things in our lives. God calls students, God calls adults to lay it all down and to leave this tight bond and to say, we're going. Jesus comes back to it in Matthew chapter 10, where he says, unless you love your mother and your father, or you love me more than your mother or father, unless you love me more than your son or your daughter, you're not worthy of me. For whoever comes after me must take up his cross and follow me. For he who finds his life shall lose it, but he who loses his life shall find it. Jesus comes right back and says, you can't love your mama and your daddy more than you love me. You can't love your son or your daughter more than you love me. There will be times possibly in your life that your parents will want you to do this, and you'll have to say, Mom, Dad, I honor you, but I must be obedient to the Lord, and I must follow him in this way. You must love the Lord more than your mother or your father. You must love the Lord more than your son or your daughter. And to speak to myself and my own generation and all of the parents in here, I submit to you, we oftentimes love our children more than we love Jesus. We worship our children. Therefore, we run them around at a crazed, frantic pace to everything, and then we miss out on the things that God wants to do in their life. We teach them nothing of sacrifice, only of surplus, and we wonder why they're selfish. Because we have not gotten our hearts the right order that the best mommy, the best daddy, the best mother, the best father is the one that loves Jesus Christ more than anyone. We tell our kids, mom's a better mom, dad's a better dad after they have spent time with Jesus. Because if you do not spend time with Christ as a parent before everybody wakes up, you'll never get time with Christ. I've done it a million times. You wake up and here's the kids and you're making cereal, pouring orange juice, and you never get back to that time because chaos begins. But to be able to say, I love Christ and I'm going to be with him and let them catch you spending time with God. Let them walk in and see you with the Bible and say, Mom, Dad, I need this, this, and this. And you're able to turn to them and say, I'm going to finish my time with the Lord. And then I'll help you with this, this, and this. Huh? We worship our kids. And we need to say, you're going to have to get your own breakfast. I'm spending time with the Lord. And you're 26. It's time for you to get a house, breakfast, you can pour your own milk, put your sink, dishes in the sink, all sorts. It's time. But we live in a culture that worships our children. And so whatever they say they need, do, want, we go, yes, how may I serve you? And instead we need to say, I need Jesus and you need Jesus, and let's orchestrate our lives in a way we get that. So he leaves his country. He leaves his home. He says, I don't worship my family or my surroundings. I worship God, and I will go anywhere he calls me to go, to take a step anywhere he wants me to go and to take. And it makes a difficult place for us. It makes us a hard place. And here's the truth of it. I found it gets harder the older you get because you got more stuff. You ask a college student would say, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. That's easy in a sense because they could just pack their car and drive out and go. An adult, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go, but please, God, don't make me pack cardboard boxes. Anything but that. Because moving is a hassle. We got so much stuff, we keep God in a little box. God said, I will show you the land and I will take you to where I want to take you. And I will ask you to follow to faith in the unknown. And it gets harder the older we get because the more set in our ways we get, the more stuff we get, the more weight we start lugging, the more tired we are. And God is saying, I'm still looking for that heart that is a 75-year-old man named Abram. I just removed a lot of excuses for a lot of us, didn't I? 75 years old, and he's saying, Lord, my heart, I go with you to new places. I go with you, and I allow you to do your work. But it's hard to separate from family. Kelly and I got a little time away on the break, and we went to Colorado. It was kind of the first time that we got a lengthy time with just Kelly and I. No little people that we love, but just us two together. And so we were in the airport in Denver, and we were flying out, and we were getting on to an escalator going up, and we were right behind this big family, and half the family was going up the escalator, and the other half was going straight, so they were dividing. And at that moment, they were just, I love you, I love you, I love you, and they're blowing kisses, I love you. And they were speaking Spanish to each other, so I was trying to work on my Spanish a little bit, and so I could hear something and then turn to Kelly and say in Spanish, I love you, you know, to be romantic, but it didn't work. So I just kept listening and listening and listening, and we're watching, and they're saying, I love you, I love you, and they're kissing goodbye. And so we get on the escalator behind this one guy that's like, vamos, vamos, is what he kept saying. Destras, vamos, go straight. And so here he is, getting them all up on the escalator. So we get on the escalator behind him, and I love talking to people, so I never meet a stranger. So I said, well, man, where are y'all going? So we're heading back to Phoenix. So, oh, that's cool, that's good. So where are they going? Oh, they're going back to Phoenix too. They're just on a different plane. And I said, man, I thought they're going to like Spain or Central America or South America, and y'all are like dividing. He goes, no, we're just Latinos. I said, good for you, man, that's awesome. What? We have a lot to learn from that, to be able to do that. And those of you that are of Latino descent, you can appreciate that. It's hard to separate from family, even if you're going to Phoenix and they're going to Phoenix and you're just going to arrive at a different time. And so the love between family members is great, but at the same time, God says, if I'm sending you to Phoenix and I'm sending them to Alaska, then we're going to have to go because we're following the Lord. And the reason we could follow the Lord is He is perfect and we are not. Abram is an imperfect man, and I want you to hear this, because we wait to take these steps of faith, waiting until we get perfect, and then as we step out in faith, we think, okay, now I got this one down, I can take this step. Now I figured this out, I'm going to take the next step. Imperfect people is who God wants to use. Abram is 75 years old, so he's not a spring chicken. Abram comes from a place that has lifted up the name of his city is to honor the moon god. He is a worshiper of the moon god. Joshua 24, verse 2, it says that his dad was a worshiper of other gods, of false gods. So here he is, an older gentleman, a worshiper of idols, and he's going to end up, we're going to see next week, lying. He's going to end up not waiting on the Lord, and we're going to end up with Ishmael because he didn't wait for Isaac. If you want to know about how Isaac and Ishmael relate, watch the nightly news. And you will see the battle still rages. He is going to have Lot come along with him. Lot comes with him, and Lot's going to cause a lot of problems. See, partial obedience is disobedience. He said, leave them all, take your wife, yes. But he takes Lot, and Lot causes a lot of problems. The Ammonites, the Moabites, they're going to give problems. They're going to come from Lot. They're going to give problems to Israel. Abram is an imperfect man. He's a hero. But he's an imperfect man. And all of the world, or three of the world religions, look back to him to be Father Abraham. Islam looks at Father Abraham through Ishmael. Judaism looks at Father Abraham through Isaac. Christianity looks through Father Abraham through Jesus, and then Isaac, and then Abraham. And so he is this father of all of this that is happening, but he is an imperfect man. Imperfect like you and like me. And do you know what imperfect people need to do? They need to stand on the rock of perfection. We stand on the promises of God. Let's look now into the scripture in verse 2 and 3, and let's see these promises that God gives. These are huge promises. Please don't miss this. Understand this is a big Bible moment. If you looked at a Bible timeline, this would be a big, fat, black dot. This is a major moment. Here it is, the covenant of Abraham. And I will make you into a great nation. God's going to do it. And I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, you will curse. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. Three things happen. Number one, land. Land. A nation happens. There's land, there's seed, and there's blessing. The first thing is land. Land is, there's a nation that comes from this. A nation is a people of unique language, of unique tradition, of unique government, of unique culture. It's a nation that comes together. We understand that in our nation, what that's like, or the nation of your origin, whatever that was like. So this land is going to become a nation. That nation is going to be what we know as Israel. It's going to come through Abraham. Then there's going to be Jacob. Jacob's going to have his name changed to Israel. And from him is going to come this nation of Israel. God's saying, I'm going to give you, through you, this land and this nation is going to happen. The fact that Israel is still on the map today is a testimony to the one true God of the Bible. It's a testimony. No other nation has been wiped out and jumped back like Israel has. Never happened in all of history. It is a testimony. If somebody says, prove God exists, point to Israel. Why are people fighting continually and even today over a country the size of New Jersey? Anybody fighting over getting New Jersey? I hadn't heard of that lately. Sure, it's a nice enough place, only been there once. But to be able to have this little sliver of land, there's a fight over it. There's a land. God was putting together this land of Israel. Here you come. You ready? Put on your caps, your thinking caps. He had this country of Israel. This country of Israel was going to have God as their God. And they were going to be lifted up and be a shining light to the rest of the world so that the rest of the world would look to Israel and say, they've got the one true God. They are following the one true God. They're walking behind the one true God. This land is the statement of God reigning all over the rest of the earth. Romans chapter 4, verse 13, it says that Abraham would receive a promise that he would be an heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. So Israel is going to be the shining light all throughout. How did Israel do with that? Not so hot. That's why you've got prophet after prophet after prophet coming. Israel, come back. We're back. Israel, come back. We're back. Israel will come back. We're back. Then Jesus doesn't send a prophet. He sends Christ, or excuse me, God sends not a prophet. He sends Christ. And he declares, I'm not like the old prophets. I am the Savior. And how does Israel respond? Not so hot. And the Messiah is rejected. And Paul comes and Peter comes and all of them. How did they respond? Not so good. So the plan to be able to have him shining out of Israel, they didn't respond in following the Lord. And they still haven't. They still have not received the Messiah for the leader of their nation. So we get this land that is promised, that in God's sovereignty, this is all working out. I'm going to bring it all together in a minute. And then you have the next thing that happens. There's a seed. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. There's a seed. A seed is a great name. Abraham is going to have a great name. He's going to have a historic name. We're still talking about him now. He's going to have a great name of influence all around. He's going to be Father Abraham. We've even seen with all the three world religions looking back to him of declaring that great name was for us. He's going to have a great name. Now, there's a difference in the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11. They built a tower to have a great name for man. Now, Genesis 12, God says, I'm going to give you a great name for God. For me. So you have land and you have seed. This seed is Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, a little homework for you. Read it this week. Galatians chapter 3 specifically states that the seed is Jesus Christ. This seed coming through is Jesus. That's who it's going to be. So we've got the land. We understand that it's going to be a shining light from Israel. We've got the seed that's going to be Jesus that comes forward. Emmanuel, God with us. And then finally, there's going to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. But follow this last promise. There's going to be a blessing that comes out of Israel that is going to bless the entire world. Huge moment. This is a covenant. This is a promise. This is you and I's imperfect legs standing upon the rock of Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand. The promises are the strength of the Christian life. It's not you holding on to God and making a promise you'll hang on to God. It's the fact that God has made a promise to hang on to you. Your Christian life is not based on your hold on God. It's based on his hold on you. Not your faithfulness to him, his faithfulness to you. So now you live as a man or a woman that says, Lord, I'll take any step because where I step with you always walks me towards God and I'm always on the rock of Christ because you've promised a land and you've promised a name and you've promised a blessing and the land, the seed, and the blessing come through. Now, let me bring this all together And if you've ever kind of wondered, okay, how does this whole Bible work out? I got the, you know, blessed are the poor, and I got the God created the earth, but how does this all work together? Here's how it works together. Here's the line. Israel was to be the light. They weren't. There was to be a seed that came. It came through that line, and it was Jesus. There was to be a blessing that came through Israel that didn't come through Israel, but it came through the seed of Jesus. So here it is. Here's the sentence for the sermon. Are you ready? Here it is. Jesus, the perfect Israelite. Jesus, the perfect Israelite, comes to bless the world through salvation. Do you see it? Jesus is the perfect Israelite that Israel's supposed to shine to the nation. He's born of Jewish descent. He's born in the line of David. He's born in the line of Abraham. He steps forward as the perfect one from Israel. And he is the seed that is spoken about. And his death on the cross enables the seed to be scattered, to be broken, so that all of us then could come into the blessing of God. So Genesis 12 goes right to the Lord's Supper. And that's the story of redemption that gets its first steps right here. Israel did not obey God. We do not obey God. We need a seed. It can't be from us. We're sinful. We trust in Christ. And through Christ now, we are blessed and we live a life that follows him in everything. And we are blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. That's the beginning of missions here. Of going out. Why have you and I been blessed with all that we have? We're blessed to be a blessing. And I want to just be transparent with you right now, just in my own personal life. In the past couple weeks, I've been struggling in my Christian walk with this. I've been seeking God with this, and I can't get an answer right now for me. I feel like I am so blessed. I just want to know where I'm supposed to be a greater blessing. And I'm asking God, what does it mean? We're givers. I've given my life to the Lord. We give all of those sort of things. I'm not just talking about money stuff. I'm talking about my life. And I'm asking God and I'm pleading with God and saying, Lord, what is it? Because I've sacrificed and given. I've sacrificed in life and given. And every time I sacrifice, the sacrifice becomes normal. And the normal, I realize, is greater blessing. And so now I'm coming back going, well, what do I give now, Lord? And then when that happens, he's going to bless again. And then what do I give now? And how do I do this? And how do I walk through this life? And it's bothering me that I walk into my closet and I got a lot of coats and there's people freezing to death. So I'm thinking, what do I do with that, Lord? How do I do that? What do you want me to do? What's the aspect of that? What's really living for you in that? And what's just a spiritual veneer of American Christianity? And I don't know. I don't know. Took a load of clothes yesterday to give them away, trying to give some stuff. I mean, it's further than how many sacks of clothes I don't wear I give away. I hope you're seeing that. It's an heart issue of saying, God, you have been so blessed. How do I give it away? Maybe he's blessed you with intellect. Is your intellect for you and yours, or is your intellect for he and his? Maybe he's given you time and you're retired. Did God give you all that time to just do what you want to do all the time, or is there something you want to do that's deeper? God's given you stuff. Well, all of us get stuff and pray about stuff, and God leads us to buy stuff. I understand that. I do the same thing, and we tell him we'll use it for him, but I can't really think of the last time I used my car for God. I can't. I don't know. I mean, if driving to work counts, I guess, you know, maybe that's it, but so if you need to borrow a car, tell me. I guess I'll let you borrow my car this week. I don't know. But I struggle with those things. I'm just telling you my heart. I got all this stuff and I want it to be for him, but I just don't know how to make it for him and how to be it for him. And I mean, what do I do? I don't know. So I just go to God because I know every faith step takes me to God. So the more time I spend here and the more time I spend here on my knees, the more God will show me. And then I'll be able to say, Lord, let me be a shining light. Let the seed of you come through me and let you, Lord, do your work through me. And that's the beginning of missions here. That's the beginning of missions. That we go out and we go different places. The World Mission Offering that we're given to, even in this time in our church, there's missionaries that want to go on the field, that there's not money to send them. That's bad. That's a tragedy. We have the ability to help with that. That we have coming up in March, a rookie trip that we take people that have never been on a mission trip before. We take you on a rookie trip, knowing you're a rookie. I'm going to try to go on that one this year. I've been on it many times, to go down to Central America is where we go, to just be a rookie and say, look, we understand. Let's all do this together. Let's all learn. We're all imperfect, but we're standing on the rock of Jesus. It's my heart's cry, and I think that we should, each one of us should go on a mission trip once every 5 years. You can plan for it, you can save for it, we can help you raise money for it, whatever it is, but step out and go. And how many of us are spending our lives, we got free time, and we vacation for us. And you'll find that the mission trip's the best thing you've ever been on. And you should have times away. My wife and I just had one. We didn't lead a single person to Christ at the hotel. But we were refreshed so that we could go back and say, Lord, we want to be a blessing. So struggle with me. Struggle in your heart before the Lord. We should struggle with all we have. We all have a lot. And it comes down to more than just giving away stuff we don't like. It comes down to a heart that says, the whole reason you've given me is so that I could be a blessing. I'll close with this. Have you ever seen the show Hoarders? It's on A&E. It's sad. It's gross. It's just weird. And what it is, comes on Monday nights, I think at 9 o'clock, so you can watch it. And I'm sure every time I say a movie or a show, I'm sure it'll be like the satanic version, you know, tomorrow since I recommended it. You know, it'd be like, you watch that? I'm not like a crazed guy. I flip through the stations as you do, and A&E comes by. So this Hoarders thing where people, they get stuff and they can't part with it. So they get like a thing of milk and they pour the milk out, and then they got the carton of milk and they can't part with the carton of milk. So you open up this room and there's like cartons of milk from 5 years ago that have all been packed away. I mean, it's very sad. It's very gross. Newspaper stacked up to the roof. I mean, you just walk through this little trail that you could get through of all these things, but they just can't part with it. And you're grossed out, but then you're also really sad for this person, because you can tell the psychologists they bring in, they're trying to tell them how to get over this thing. And so they're helping them get through this. And I just wonder in our lives if we're spiritual hoarders. Now, we throw away the milk cartons and the newspaper and we don't have a reality show looking at a bunch of trash. But I wonder if your spiritual gift has been hoarded. The body of Christ needs you and wants you. I wonder if your time, if your resources, if your heart, if your prayer has been hoarded. And we're spiritual hoarders when we get here and we see the first steps of faith are Abram, go to a land you don't know. Oh, but I like this land. Oh, I like this one. My mom and my dad are here and I know my ways around. Abraham, go to a country that I will show you and stand on my promise of the land. Stand on my promise of the seed. Stand on my promise of the blessing, and you will find that what you've been hanging on, I will multiply like fish and loaves, and your life will be lived in such an amazing way that God would use you. People would still be talking about you today. Not perfect, but trusting him. So I ask you today, your first steps, do they scare you and you just want to go back to a crawl? Your first steps, just run to the Father. And you'll find the covenant of Abraham is just as true in the new covenant of the cross.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.